Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. This year's state budget contains a provision that calls on local governments, led by their county executives, to consider ways in which they might share among them the provision of more government services, such as highway maintenance or accounting, for example. The initiative originally came from Governor Cuomo's office. Local governments are now in the process of engaging in that consideration. And my guest today is Onondaga County Executive Joni Mahoney, who is leading that process in Onondaga County. County Executive Mahoney, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, in the interest of transparency, I should also add that the New York Department of State contracted with the institute that I direct, the Campbell Public Affairs Institute, to produce a Citizens and Public Officials Guide to the Consideration of Shared Services, which the institute published last May. All right. So having said that, County Executive, let me just start with asking you to give me a very brief overview, if you could, of the purpose and the process of this shared services initiative.
Sure. Originally, the governor proposed in his budget a path to a public referendum. And as this community knows better than any, we've had a long conversation. Consensus led this three-year-long group, and they, I think, would have supported a possible referendum for voters to be able to weigh in directly. And that was in the governor's budget. The legislature, through the give and take of the legislative process, came back with what we have now, these shared services panels mm-hmm. that are requiring the county executive and all of the village mayors, the mayor of the city of Syracuse, and all of the town supervisors to come together and come up with ways that we can agree to do things together in a way that will cost less in the future for our property taxpayers. And we're not penalized for failing, but there is a carrot in that if we realize savings in 2018, the state will match dollar for dollar those savings.
And so the process then is this group of panelists, which you described as being really the mayors and the supervisors and the officials from the towns and villages, they consider this in some kind of iterated process during the summer. And then this plan then gets ultimately finalized by you and then put back to the panel. Is that correct?
Yes. And those were the required panelists. Voluntarily, okay. We were allowed to invite the schools, and I did do that. And okay. Most of the school districts in Onondaga County had a vote of their school board to join the panel. So that plan that we're putting together does include most of the school districts, and you are correct that we will put the plan together, and there's a first draft now. There was a public right. hearing. It didn't create very much news or controversy. But it did result in some changes. That'll be a second draft. We'll have a second public hearing. It has gone to the Onondaga County Legislature. They are not required to vote on it, and I don't know what their plan is, but they will consider it. The vote that's required is by this panel that right. includes villages, towns, school districts that have joined, and myself. And any municipality is allowed to opt out of the items that affect their municipality. And if we get a majority vote of the panel, whatever survives there at the end is our plan. I certify to the state that that's our plan and that these are our projected savings. And then at the end of 2018, if we can certify those savings, those are the dollars that will be matched.
This is one kind of question in the weeds, but it occurred to me as you were just describing that. If one of those town officials or local officials opts out of the plan for their jurisdiction, do they then also get to vote on the final plan, or are they out?
No, they get to vote on the final plan. Okay. So if, for instance, the mayor of the city of Syracuse were to say, we don't want to do this thing that's proposed in the plan, the mayor can opt the city out and then still preserve a vote on the overall plan.
Okay. So the initial plan that your office put forward had 95 proposals in it, I understand, and that's almost double the number of proposals that were in the consensus report that was issued last year and that you referenced on a similar topic. Just give me a sense then of the broad contours of this initial plan. I mean, what are some of the most notable aspects of it?
Okay. Well, first I'll tell you that my goal was success. It wasn't to look to try to make any political statements or, you know, just have a conversation. It was to really put something together that I thought would succeed. And the best path is bottom up. So we had a meeting initially with the mayors and supervisors and said, come and tell us the things that you are willing to do among yourselves, and we'll put those in the plan. And I was very encouraged by the process that they went through. The mayors meet as an organization and the supervisors meet as an organization, but they met four times as joint boards, and they put together a list of proposals of things that they were as a group agreeing to do.
So what are some of the greatest hits out of them, would you say?
I think the things that have the greatest potential are two. One, the school boards came up with a proposal for a transportation hub because they spend a lot of money transporting children that aren't going to their public school. They're required by state law to take children with special needs to different places, and they're required to transport kids who go to parochial private schools. And oftentimes you'll see a big bus with only one or two children that's being bused far from their home district. So they have come up with a transportation hub where the out of the ordinary transportation would go to a central location, and then maybe four buses, north, south, east, and west, would take all of the kids. That has the potential to save some real dollars on school budgets. And as we know, 2/3 of our property tax bills are with the schools. And so that was encouraging. The other thing that I think is really promising that's coming from this is, by virtue of having the schools there, we had the opportunity to hear how they share through BOCES. And then I had a separate meeting with the folks who run BOCES. And from that came the idea, well, why don't we have a BOCES-like model for our local governments on the municipal side? And it was really well received at the Mayors and Supervisors Association. So lo and behold, there is a state statute from the 1960s that we don't have any examples of ever having been used, but it allows us to create this entity that we can then share services through. And the beauty of it really is that it avails us of the opportunity to take advantage of our strength when we come together, but doesn't take away the individual identities that people were resisting when they talked about village dissolutions or a big metropolitan government with the city and county together. This is a way to take the advantage of bringing all those folks together and maybe buying health insurance or the kinds of things that the sheer number would drive the cost down. And, you know, but at the same time, you have your it's all voluntary and you have your identity as your municipality.
Is that something that then would take place under this, I forget the exact name that the plan put to it, but Shared Services Commission ongoing group that then will consider these things?
Yes, it's a greater Syracuse coalition, for lack of a better term. And I should know what the term is. It's in our plan. What we envision is creating something that would be modeled after BOCES. BOCES right now is governed by a board that includes the four largest school districts and then a geographic representative of the others. We would do the same thing. So it would be the county, the city. Three of our biggest towns would have a seat on this board, and then all of the other municipalities would be represented in a group.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Onondaga County Executive Joni Mahoney about the current effort to consider increasing shared services among local governments. You mentioned before that there's a carrot to the program, but no stick. And I wanted to talk a little bit more, though, about the vehicles for the participation of the public in the process, because you also talked about the original vision was put this to a referendum, but now it's going to be done through a representative process, essentially, these panel members. So There's been one public hearing. There are going to be others. I'd like to hear when are the others going to be in this process? And then also, what insights or lessons, if any, did you take from the first one? Because I believe I heard you say that you had made some revisions to your plan on the basis of that first hearing.
Yep. And at the first hearing, the regional representative from CSEA, which is the biggest union, and a lot of our municipalities have CSEA locals, they weren't objecting to anything in the plan, but they were objecting to the uncertainty in the plan. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a shared services plan that is voted on that has actual dollar projections. Anything that we can't come up with a real dollar amount, we're going to move to an appendix and then have it as a good idea that we're going to work toward, but it's not going to be part of the plan that's voted on. And I think that is something that came from the feedback that we got from the unions. The other thing that came was that at the end of this process, I put forward in the plan that was presented a lot of the consensus ideas, mm-hmm. not the big one of the metropolitan government, because I knew that that would just be the thing that would suck all of the oxygen out mm-hmm. of the air. But all of the other smaller recommendations I put in there and attributed them to consensus. Some of the other panel members objected to that because consensus isn't really part of the shared services panel. So now what we're going to do is require that a panel member sponsor an idea that came from consensus in order for that to make it into the final plan. So that was really the feedback that came from the first public hearing. The second one is tentatively scheduled for September 7th, and then there will be a third one not long after that because the final plan has to be voted on by September 15th, and then October 15th I have to report out to the community.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Onondaga County Executive Joni Mahoney. We're discussing the initiative to consider shared services among local governments in New York State. I wanted to ask you a question following up on these future public hearings. What do you think, if you put yourself, I mean, you are a citizen in Onondaga County, but you're also the county executive, but what do you think would be the most important questions and concerns that any citizen in the county following this process and hopefully participating in the future public meetings should have in their minds? I mean, what should they be coming in with? Like, I want to get clear on this.
I think the big question is, how is this going to make anything better? And that's a more global question. And I think we do get lost in the weeds on some of these. But the big question is, you know, for me, the lens I've always looked at is, you know, looked through is what's better for the next generation. And I think if people came to a public hearing and asked, how is this going to be better for my kids and grandkids, that they will have a better sense of, you know, where we're going. If we focus on the individual things, then I think we make much slower progress than we can than if we were to say, you know, my concern is whether my kids will have an opportunity in Central New York. Can you tell me how this is going to make that more likely?
And you mentioned earlier the decision to take out or not put in, I should say, the big recommendation of the consensus report, which was the consolidation of actual governments. That report did generate a lot of public criticism, and a lot of it, again, focused on that consolidation mm-hmm. piece, which is not in this plan. But do you think, though, that as this works its way forward and it gets more attention in the public and we get closer to the panel vote stage, that the legacy of that, sort of the two-year legacy of that, it will taint somehow the consideration of this, even though it's less politically ambitious, that people are kind of going to put these two things together in their heads?
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because I think the feedback I've gotten, I know the feedback I've gotten from the local municipalities has been a a cooperative spirit and a willingness to come together and have this conversation. And when I went to the supervisors and mayors together in the last month or so to hear what their ideas were that they wanted me to add to the plan, I think that there was a real sense that we're all in this together. Mm. And the metropolitan government, I told you my goal was success. And at this point, whether it's a good idea or bad, setting that aside, at this point, the plan is likely to fail if it includes that. We all need the added resources that we have the opportunity to get from the state going through this process. And it would be a disservice to the public to just put that out there for the purposes of the debate, knowing the plan will fail and all of us will miss the opportunity to get the state aid to make things better. So I think there was a real understanding of that and a genuine belief that that's off the table. So I don't think it will taint, generally speaking, the process. I'll tell you also that you said, you know, I'm a citizen and I'm the county executive. I also said to the group, you know, the people who live in the village of Jordan, like Mr. Mayor of Jordan or the village of Liverpool to the Miss Mayor of Liverpool, they are people I also represent. They are my constituents to whom I owe a service, and I'm trying to do the best I can also. And it almost seemed like light bulbs were going off in the room when people realize, you know, I don't represent the county. I represent the individuals that are in all of the municipalities that you represent. So we really are in this together. And I really had, for the first time in 10 years, and that's why I think the process itself was good, but I really had a sense sitting around the table with the village mayors and the town supervisors that they really felt like they were in this with me.
Now, one widely expressed concern about this process is, of course, the compressed time frame for it. I mean, it's moving at sort of warp speed in terms of initiatives of its significance elsewhere. So do you know, it's basically something that's being done over the summer and into early fall, as you sketched out the time frame before. Is that the best way to try to figure out something as complex as many of these issues inherently are?
Well, you know, I've been in elective politics myself since the 1990s, and it has been a topic of conversation since then. And we just went through a 3-year-long process with consensus. A lot of our homework, I said, was done. You know, I think criticizing the process and criticizing the schedule, my experience has been that that's been an easy way to avoid any progress. And so, you know, why not this? We are going to make progress. And so why not take that progress, put it in the bank, and then come back and continue this conversation? But, you know, you'll have people that don't like the meat that you will hear criticize the process.
Is there a provision? Let's say this goes through and it fails. Is there a provision in the process for a second whack at it? And how does that work?
There's actually a requirement.
A requirement.
Yes,
okay.
For a second bite. So I think maybe that helped people get to work, was knowing that if we're not successful,
we got to do it all again.
So I firmly believe that we will have a shared services plan that is supported by a majority of the municipalities and that we can then get to work to implement them, because that's a key part of this, is that nothing this panel does usurps the power of the village boards and the town boards and the county legislature. We're agreeing at the executive level to try to make these things happen, but they won't happen on an individual basis until an intermunicipal agreement is signed and that it's supported by our village boards and town boards and county legislature.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Onondaga County Executive Joni Mahoney. I want to ask you about another criticism that has been put forward, again, about the process in a way, but also where it's coming from. It's coming from the governor and the criticism is that this is going to take, yet again, attention away from what the big problem is when it comes to costs for local governments, and that's the collection of state mandates. Here's the governor saying, okay, well, you local governments figure out ways that you can share and save money and then save the taxpayer money. But the big problem in the grill in the room is the state mandates. How do you see these two issues interacting together?
I have heard that exact thing. And I can tell people that the biggest mandate in county government is Medicaid. And the governor did put a hard cap on Medicaid, meaning that our price that we pay stays the same now in the county, and any growth in the program is paid for at the state level. And I believe that the governor also thinks, as I do, that the government that puts a program in place should be the government that has to figure out in its budget how to pay for it. But to come in 60 years into this sort of mess that we've created and to think that any one of us is going to undo it in one day just isn't realistic. This proposal that I saw from a couple of New York State Congress representatives that said the Affordable Care Act would require that the state of New York take back Medicaid. But this is sort of to that point that I represent the people in the Village of Liverpool. We are all state residents, and we all are, you know, the ones who are asked to fund our state government. So it just, it's a real oversimplification to think that we're just going to take this bill and pass it on to the state, and then all of us are going to have lower costs because we have to pay that state bill, right, too. The state does have different options for paying bills, like income tax. You know, they could raise income tax. So your property tax might go down, but your income tax might go up. What's going to solve the problem is lowering the cost. But aside from that, it is true that a lot of your local property tax, or a lot of your local cost, I should say, because a lot of it is sales tax now, is to pay for local services, your parks, your roads, the things that were not mandated to do. And if we can make some progress, then I believe we should try to make that progress rather than sit back and say, since we can't solve the whole problem, then we're not going to do anything. So that's been my mantra, is let's do what we can, and at the same time, keep the focus on our state representatives. Certainly don't pass along any new mandates, but continue to bite away as we have with this hard cap on taking those mandates back.
We've only got about a minute left, but I wanted to shift topics for the end here and just say briefly, are there any other initiatives or new things happening at the county level that you want our listeners to be aware of? Again, exceptionally briefly, in a minute or so.
Well, that's interesting. And I think it's probably all around this. We are continuing to come together with municipalities around us to do things to take advantage of our strength in numbers. But I know you do a segment and you continue this conversation. And I think sort of making the case for why you would be willing to go along with some of these shared services is a topic that's worth exploring.
That was Joni Mahoney. County Executive Mahoney, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you. It's always interesting.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, conversations in the public interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.